Welcome to the My Walk, My Way podcast.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but that will take away my light.
They wanted to take away my darkness,
but I've learned to make it mine. I learned to love it over time.
I've learned to make my shadow shine.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited you're joining us for this episode of the podcast. Today, we are talking with Abby Lorene, who is a loss pituitary intuitive endotype. And in our book, she has written the chapter Generations of Impact. In our conversation today, we dive into why intuitives are so great about feeling love or showing love, but not so great about feeling love, and how so many of us confuse the word love for a different craving that our endotype might have. So enjoy. Thanks for listening. Abby, I'm super glad that you're able to join us today and talk a little bit more about your chapter of the book and just you in general. Help us be able to get to know more than just what's in the chapter. So why don't we start there? Tell us a little bit about your chapter, about your story.
Well, my story has a lot to do with having daughters and seeing how beautiful they are and how they don't see the same thing for themselves that I'm able to see of them. And really realizing that as my daughters are in different stages in life, you know, a teenager, a preteen, and a young girl, how each one of them has shown me collectively that I may or may have not made some mistakes on speaking about my own body in a negative way. That as each of them have spoke about their own bodies, I've realized that I unintentionally left this feeling of that it's okay to talk negative about ourselves and that's totally normal, and that it's not normal to talk great about ourselves and to really give ourselves that positive feedback of like, yeah, I'm doing awesome and man, I look great in these pants, or even just being okay with the fact that I had to buy a size extra, extra large. Or even if, for instance, one of my children is smaller, you know, her saying, you know, I'm so skinny and I can't fit into these. Just really being altogether feeling like it is absolutely okay to love our bodies and that we don't need to critique them unless, you know, we need health reasons are different, but really just to in it. Engulf ourselves in worthiness and feeling loved enough, even mostly by ourselves and not just from an outsider's perspective. I think that just really brings so much to my heart with realizing that I wanted to make that change for my daughters and acknowledge that and become more aware of that. And I asked them to call me out now if I say anything that's negative about myself so that I can remind myself, hey, don't go there. You're amazing. You're beautiful. And it's okay for you to feel that way.
Yeah.
I give myself that permission.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fantastic. You know, giving ourselves permission is something that in the personal development world, the coaching world, Brené Brown talks about it. She calls them permission slips. To give yourself permission to be just how you are. And that was the whole theory behind the book, right? You know, like we saw too much comparison. If only I could be like that person in business, or if only I had this person's life, or if only I could be a size fill in the blank. Because we all have this like fill in the blank size. Then something amazing, awesome, wonderful, fantastic will happen, but it won't happen until I am fill in the blank size. What happens with a lot of people, you know, having owned a gym in a former lifetime. What happens with a lot of people is when they get to the fill in the blank size and the amazing, awesome, fantastic, fabulous thing doesn't happen, they just think they need to get smaller. There's never a satisfaction if we're
right,
if we're so focused on that size.
You're 100% right. And I see that now, because I remember in the past 10 years at points in my life saying, if I could just wear a size 10, if I could just, you know, not have my arms look flabby in this shirt right now. I remember all of those feelings. And then once you come from the brink of death back to life, you wake up and you think, oh man, I've been doing this all wrong. I need to like worship this body that I have. And even if it's not perfect, I need to do everything I can to be grateful and feel, you know, blessed that I have this body. And I specifically remember saying those exact words. And that's why I wrote what I did in the book about if I were size X, Y, and Z, if I looked like her, if I parented like her, if I did this like her, we were all uniquely made to be ourselves. And we are all imperfectly imperfect. And that is okay. And that's something that I feel like a lot of us really don't understand. And we've been trained to think that we need to keep up with the Joneses, or we need to be that kind of parent, or we need to look this way. And the social aspect to that is bringing in social media, Instagram and, you know, Facebook and so on and so forth. So having a young daughter, she signed me up for Instagram. And, you know, I do model. So I see young girls say how beautiful I am. And I have to explain to them, like, girl, I don't always look like that. These are extensions. These are, you know, I like art and I like beauty and I like the awareness stuff that I, you know, do with EDS and in the medical community. So that being said, I've tried very much to set a realistic expectation by not having my pictures airbrushed, by being fully honest and transparent, you know, even with background pictures of like, this is actually what it looked like with my phone. And this is what it looked like with a professional camera, that we're all kind of looking through this lens of, ooh, that's so pretty. Oh, look how amazing that is. Oh, I really love her hair color. And, you know, it's totally okay to love makeup, to not love makeup. It's okay to want to be girly and dress girly. It's okay to want to be athletic and wear athletic clothes. It is that's really the whole point, is for us to just be ourselves and be okay with that and not feel like we have to keep up with the social media expectation of perfection, because there is no such thing as perfection. And once you like get that in your mind, you're like, boom, there's the aha moment. I got it. Yes. Okay. I'm freaking awesome. Okay. You're awesome. She's awesome. Let's empower each other to be unique and beautiful together.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I know you grew up kind of Midwest. I grew up in Wisconsin. You know, I grew up with a very Midwestern values kind of heritage, right? My grandma never worked outside of the home. She didn't take care of the yard. She did some gardening. She didn't take care of the yard work, though. And although my mom worked outside of the home, right, being an active woman was never really prioritized in my family growing up. And my aunts, my mom, my grandma, my family kind of grew up with eating habits that supported overweight, with not moving, not going to gyms, things like that. That was the heritage that I grew up with. And which wouldn't have been bad. None of those things are bad and terrible things, except for they also hated their bodies.
Right.
And so when you had approached and we had flushed through, you know, your plethora of stories to see what what we could write about in one chapter, because you have a lot of life under your belt. And you had talked about this generational impact. I was like, yeah. Absolutely. Because I remember, I remember at certain ages, and I have pictures of myself at those ages, already thinking that I was overweight. And I look back now and I was a size 6 wearing crop tops and really, really wasn't overweight. But that was the conversation even amongst my friends that we hung out with.
Yes.
We would pick apart our bodies and decide what we didn't like. And that was kind of the cool thing to do.
Right.
But it's so not cool.
It's
so
not.
breaking that cycle of generational impact and changing the conversation, moving away from prioritizing any specific one body, that is an amazing goal.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And really, because my daughters are all in such different spots with their sizes and, you know, their natural tendency of weight gain or not weight gain, you know, hormones, not hormones. I was actually super, super thin. And when I say thin, I mean like a bone. Okay. So I actually hated my body because I didn't have weight on me and I got made fun of for being so skinny. Mm-hmm. And the number one thing that sticks out in my mind was a girl saying, "You're so skinny, you could hula hoop with a Cheerio." And I cried. Like I cried and lost it and thought, why can't I have a butt? Why can't I have boobs? I want some boobs too. Okay. I want to wear a bra. Yeah. You know, like I wanted to be feminine and have like curves and stuff. And I was super thin. And even until I was probably in my mid 20s before I really packed on some weight. But in my household, you know, I moved around a lot. So I didn't really get very consistent situations. So the number one situation was, you know, unfortunately not having a lot of food in our home and not having options for food. So eating at school was my main priority. And then as I remember my mom really skipping meals because she couldn't afford it. And she would feed us kids before she would feed herself. And she did that sometimes for days at a time. And I felt so terrible about that. I'd offer it to her and she'd say, "No, you need to eat." But you know, she did work outside the house. But then as I moved around from one home to the other, my stepmother, she is a hard worker, like 80 hours a week going hard. And, you know, and they did home cooked meals and stuff, which was super weird for me. I was used to like frozen things and little things. And none of them are overweight in that household either. So, I mean, they eat pretty healthy. But my grandmother, they like to go out to eat all the time. So when I lived with my grandparents, they would go out to eat a lot. Sometimes we would eat at home, but we had an abundance of food. And I just thought that was amazing. And actually, when I was in high school, I do remember I worked my junior and senior year in our lunchroom for a paycheck. So I worked half of my lunch hour serving the students so that I could pay for my lunch. Because when I lived with my grandparents, it was the first time ever. So I was, you know, 15, 16, somewhere in there when I realized that other kids actually had to pay for their food, like that not everybody got free food. So sure. I worked in the lunchroom and I was so excited when I was able to have extra food. And I did, I kind of binge ate. That is where I'm obsessive. That's a part of my personality. So I became very obsessive about like binge eating of like junk food and exciting things. So I never have worked a day. I've never worked out in a gym in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And when I did get to the heaviest point, I was well beyond 200, passing close to 300 pounds. And that lasted for a couple of years and my body hurt so bad. And then naturally, as they figured out my thyroid issues I had going on, the weight just kind of melted back off. And I'm at a weight that I never thought I'd be happy with, but I look at myself now and I'm like, "Girl, you look good. Who cares what the scale says?" I haven't stepped on a scale in my home in almost 2 years. I refuse to do that. I don't need to know how much I weigh. I just need to feel healthy and happy with myself and be grateful for that.
Yeah.
I hope that I pass that down.
Exactly what you're describing is part of the intuitive endotype body style. You know, that's the thing about comparing bodies. It's so dumb. And we don't know it's dumb because people don't understand that different personality types naturally have different body types. So when you compare an intuitive with a builder or with a conductor or with a visionary, there are certain body types, styles, and problems that uniquely go with each of them because the endocrine glands connect with how we think. They connect with our brain. That's why it's called an endo type, is because the endocrine glands are so combined in with this. My mom is an intuitive as well, and she has this, she has the exact same story as you of being, you know, 130 pounds and 6 foot whatever in high school all the way up until she has some of those same intensity, or like you had said, binging kind of tendencies. So, you know, it's so, comparing is just so silly. It's so much more about, let's look at how to make my body work and look and feel great. And if I'm having troubles gaining, losing, autoimmune, whatever it is, let's see what my brain might be trying to communicate through my body.
Right.
And see if maybe I can address it not only on a physical aspect, but is there something I can address on an emotional or mental aspect that I just have been ignoring? I didn't want to look at.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have told you that I had binge ate, or that, you know, I had these certain processes that I know about myself now. And that's because I really wanted to discover who I was by continuing to be in therapy. And why? Because that's my mind. I have that mind map where I want to know, why do I act this way? Why do I do these specific things? And not just because I'm always wondering, but because I want to improve myself, to be the best version of myself, which as I've followed that path, the more and more loved and worthy I feel, the more I feel so much peace. I can't even explain the amount of peace that I have in the past 2 years. That just surpasses anything about my entire life.
Yep.
It just gives you this sense of self that you're worthy, you're loved, you're accepted, mostly by yourself. And that's all that really matters at the end of the day. It's not about what everybody else thinks. And I had somebody say this to me. As people know through my writing, I'm almost divorced. Okay. Been going on for a couple of years. I had somebody see me walking around in town. And I was walking my daughter around the block in the middle of town to calm her down, right? And a girl messaged me and said, Abby, I just need to tell you something. Her name is Taryn, by the way. She's a very positive person. She's very similar to me, where we speak about our thoughts and our processes, and other people don't always get that and think we're kind of loud, right? She says, I just want to tell you, happy looks good on you. And I went to write her back. And as I was typing, she said, and don't say it's because of a man. It's because you lost weight. It's because this, it's because that. Happy looks good on you. And you take credit for that. And I was like, whoa, girl. Yes. Yes. You are right. I'm taking credit for that.
Yes.
So that was honestly, that sticks out in my mind to a T. That's like a changing point for me where I went, wow. Somebody else sees that I'm happy and full of peace, and that I am like accepting myself, and they're happy for me. And boy, I tell you what, that just, it gives me chills just talking about it. That was like the moment that I thought, you're doing it right, Abby, keep going. You can do this. You can keep pushing forward. You can change the course of the direction that you've been going, and not necessarily fix everything, because, you know, there's some things that you can't always fix. But to learn from them and to teach my daughters, let's veer from this path and go down this path over this way, so that I can give you the best self-love and let you see from my actions and feelings and all of that, how much I love myself, so that you will see that it is okay to love yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You've said love so many times during this conversation, which doesn't surprise me, because the intuitive endotype, love, connection, empathy, compassion, all of those emotions and that state of being is part of the genius of your endotype. So how do you
use call me
those?
Genius?
We are all geniuses. We all have genius aspects, and love and connection is yours as part of your endotype. How do you use that in your life? Other than, I mean, you've told us a lot already about it.
honestly, I have always been okay with telling people, even if I've never met them in person, that I love them. Why? Because I know that one person caring about you and loving you can literally save your life when you're in such a bad place. And some of us, that includes myself, used to be so good at hiding it. And I tend to be a caretaker. That is a natural thing for me, to be motherly, to be the mother hen, to take care of everybody. So I spread that love out by making sure that I just tell people, if you need something, I'm here. Even if I can't physically be there for you, message me, let me be there for you. I will be happy to listen. I'll be happy to give advice. I'm just happy to be here for you. At the same time, as much as I give and love to do that, part of this journey was me telling myself it's okay for me to have that kind of person in my life also.
Yeah.
To allow myself to have somebody to love me. And that is really hard. That is something that I never imagined would be so hard, is to allow somebody to love you deeply when you're used to being the person who loves people deeply. So I volunteer. Lots of little things.
Yeah. I think that is because for a lot of people, we have connected love to different things. So yes. I think especially for the intuitive endotype, many of the intuitives who do love so good and give love so generously struggle receiving or seeing their own worth. Yes. And so when somebody comes into their life that starts loving them and valuing mm-hmm. them, there is this piece of the intuitive that all the time feels like they have to justify being good enough, doing yes. enough, feeling worthy. Can you say a little bit about how that's shown up for you?
So, as you know, I met my partner, Dan, about 2 years ago, and I wasn't looking for a relationship at the time. We became friends first. And we just kind of dated without, you know, the kids or people in the world knowing about it. And I came down with serious health complications, had major surgery, and almost died in the hospital only 3 months into our relationship. And I could no longer physically do half of the things that I used to be able to do. So I was very independent. I moved to my own house. I did my own things. I started over by myself, and being independent was a huge thing for me that I wanted to do on my own. But once I got past getting out of the hospital from the blood clots, it was like, I can't do all these things. So Dan stepped up and he helped me with a lot of things. And there were times that I pushed him away, and he actually came to me and was like, why will you not let me love you? And I'm like, well, I don't deserve that. I'm not giving anything to you in return right now. Why should you like me or love me or even be with me? My life is messy and chaotic and full of unknowns, and who knows how long I'm going to live. You're so much younger than me. And I want you to be happy. And he just said, I am happy, and you don't need to do anything. You just being you is what makes me love you. You don't have to earn my love. You've already done that, and you do that on the daily. And I wrote about that in the book, about him saying, I wish you saw yourself the way that I see you. And it was, and I told him, I need you to be gentle and understanding with me, that when I need certain things, to not take offense to it, to not, you know, get hurt by it, come to me, talk to me, say these things. And truthfully, he is probably the only other person on this earth that I've allowed to love me in a way that I've never felt love before, because he makes me feel valuable and worthy and loved, and that I don't need to give something back to him in order to have that. And that's not something I'm used to, because I've made myself loved based on value by yeah. being there for yeah, somebody
you,
in my
it's
family.
It's almost like you confuse. See, because love and heart yes. connection, the way that I understand it, it's kind of like seeing a person with your heart. It's like, I see you fully, completely accepting, compassionate, right? It has nothing to do with necessarily with giving or receiving. See, when we get into the giving, receiving, some of those things, that then falls over into this feeling worthy of these things.
Yes.
And so we can, for many people, we confuse this word that we say love with really, do I feel valued, or do I feel like somebody sees who I am, or whatever. Because different endotypes crave different things, but one of the big cravings that you have is for worthiness. So thanks for speaking to that a little bit. And I'm sure the other intuitives that are listening and a few of the other endotypes who crave worthiness will relate to that as well. One of your other parts of your endotype is the hero part. We all have this part that in the endotype language, right, we call the hero. And your hero helps others feel like they belong, helps people feel like they belong in a community, in their body, in their family. And whatever is connected to our heroes, so for you belonging, is easy for us sometimes to give to other people, hard for us to receive, hard for us, or it needs to be trained. So how have you trained your hero part to focus on where and how you belong in this world?
Well, I train that weekly with my counselor, Chloe, thank you.
Nice. Shout out to Chloe and shout out to therapy. Yes, therapy is good stuff.
It is. I use it as a self-improvement tool that my insurance pays for. Okay. I personally have not had a lot of consistent adults in my life. And some that I have with my grandparents, you know, but in general, I needed to have somebody for me that was an outside perspective that could see the outside and not sugarcoat things and give me some information and feedback that was good, bad, and ugly. So that I could see where I needed to work on things. And so I continue doing that weekly, and I will probably for the rest of my life, because I truly believe in therapy being the best medicine we can have. It reminds me to take a breath. It reminds me to find my zen. It reminds me to meditate. It reminds me it's okay to unplug from the world. It reminds me to put myself first. And so really where I belong, I've never been a person who can sit in the peace and quiet in a house alone. It brings me great anxiety. And because once you go through a divorce, you're used to having your children with you 24/7. I wasn't used to that. I have children with medical needs, and that was very hard for me. But in the past year, since COVID started, the only positives for me was I no longer had to run from one appointment to the next appointment, to the next appointment, to the next thing to pick up here and there. It helped slow down the chaos for me and gave me the opportunity to have this opportunity where I got to do what I loved. And so immersing myself in the things that I had the opportunity to write down and say, this is my vision, these are my goals. Tomorrow is not promised, and I want to live a quality, worthy life. And for me, that meant being me, doing what worked for me, and what worked for me and where I felt I belonged was in my own home. Mm-hmm. As weird as that might sound to other people, I've never been able to just be alone. Now I can sit in the alone and the peace and the quiet. And I'm like, yes, there's no noise. There's no kids running. I mean, as much as I love that sound also, but sometimes it gives me a mental break. I would say also belonging wise, this opportunity helped me find more of where I belonged, because before my outspoken thoughts and my ability to step up and do public speaking and be a part of, you know, benefits and organizations and boards and so on and so forth, I kind of was able to put all those things together and realize, like, I belong in a community of people who has something to say that is actually valuable. And it's okay if not every single person accepts that, as long as I feel I belong and being able to speak on that topic. That makes me feel like this inner peace and mm-hmm. belongingness, especially within this community that we have right now. Yeah. The whole endotype is like the perfect vision of what I wish every woman and hope that every woman gets to be a part of. It's not just something that tells you, okay, these are where you need to fix all your problems. No, it's like, this is who you are. These are where you could amplify yourself to be a better version of yourself, to play on your strengths. And then, you know, this is why you are who you are, and that's okay. And it's, yeah, it just, this Let's is my community.
Yeah. Yeah. We're glad to have community. You. We're glad to have you in the My Walk, My Way community for sure. And you know, a lot of intuitives are very interested in books. In fact, I think it might be in the profile that I wrote about the intuitive profile.
It does.
And I talk about how it always makes the intuitives giggle when they read it or when I say it to them, because intuitives surround themselves with books, with learning, with journaling, with personal growth courses that are usually all about one third to one half completed.
You are right, girl.
Yeah. Well, because right, because you get part of, and then the other thing that they're always doing, which I love, that because I've gotten a bunch of really great book ideas, like books for me to read from intuitives, because they're always like, oh, yes, oh, there's a book. I thought it was for me. I picked it up. I haven't read it yet. Here it is. It's for you. It's called My Walk, My Way. This book, you should, you could just have this copy. I knew I got it for somebody. It must be for you. And that's a conversation that I've had with intuitives over and over again.
Just sounded just like my grandmother, like 100%. I have so many cookbooks and so many other random books that I have yet to read. And I'm like, Grandma, that's a lot of books. I'm more of an ebook person because I'm busy, you know, and I get that.
And you've moved a few times, so yeah. You start understanding hauling those books around becomes a challenge.
Correct.
So it didn't surprise me at all that we had an intuitive who was interested in being part of this project. And I had a sneaky suspicion that it may be hard for an intuitive to put their thoughts out there. Because some intuitives struggle with feeling dumb, with feeling not valuing their intelligence, or feeling like they didn't have a plan in life.
Yes.
Has that ever affected you?
Every part that you just said. That was like you just read my bio right there in like two lines. I would totally agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
I've always felt like, okay. And I still to this day message you like, Lori, come on, like, give me an idea. Give me a hint right now. Okay. Where do I go? What do I do from here? I need a plan. And why I'm that way, I mean, you obviously know, but that is me. I need a plan. I need to see ahead. I need to see around. Those are things that I have to, and still continue to work on the daily, where it's okay that I don't know everything, but I do like to know as much as possible. And when I get my mind set on something, I research it like crazy. I need to know, okay, which direction are we going here? Mostly because I love to educate myself. I do love to know as much as possible. That's just who I am.
Yeah.
And that's really... Yeah. You just summed it all up, really, though.
Yeah, no, and you know, the one thing that I can say is that the part of you that connects with this craving for feeling smart or for feeling like you have a plan, it connects with your own intuition. And it's the young child part of you. That young child part craves more than anything else fun. So when it comes to making your plan, look for ways and places that you can play that feel exciting, that feel fun. And if it feels like, you know, obviously with any plan, there's a little bit of effort and work and things that are involved. But if it feels heavy and dark and you're telling yourself, right, you have to earn it, you have to be a grown up, blech. I say boo to those things.
Right.
Look for that fun, because that's part that your young child craves for sure. Well, thanks for doing this interview with us and for sharing a little bit more about your life. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing next and how people can get a hold of you.
Well, I just bought my website today. Whoop, whoop. It is abbylorene.com. And when we get off of here, I'm actually going to be setting up the email part of that. So I believe it would be info@abbylorene.com. Perfect. Otherwise, you can email me at missauthorabby@gmail.com. There's dot in between each word. And I'm on several social media platforms. So what I'm planning on doing next is, before I ever even started writing with you guys, which is why this worked out amazing, as I had already had like 8 books I was writing and mostly about life and in general, my experiences and things that I've gone through that I thought might be valuable to other women. So my intentions right now is to continue to still write. And I just got a beautiful opportunity to transcribe. And I offered to do this for a different podcast that I'm in love with that has to do with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And there's a local doctor and it's very, very hard to find one. So I'm so excited that I'm going to get the opportunity to write with them and, you know, basically just help them out. But it's like, I'm excited. Yes. So I'm going to be writing with that. And I am, you know, I have other services that I've put out there for writing, which writing is easy for me. That just comes naturally. It's like, I don't even have to work to do that. I'm a natural crafter of words. I am in the middle of getting ready to start recording some spoken poetry. So I've been writing lyrics for about 6 months, coming out from, you know, realizing that, you know, I struggled with my mental health for a while, and then going from that to struggling with a tremendous amount of grief in the past couple of months in my life, and trying to find a positive way to bring that out, that, you know, and I want to connect more with a younger generation. So mm-hmm. I understand that music is kind of some of the way to do that, and spoken poetry and me and my big old personality, that will be a beautiful thing. So I am working on all those things, and I'm kind of working on inspirational or like positive affirmations of t-shirts and hoodies, so that I cannot wait for the day that I'm wearing a hoodie that says, look at me, I am freaking beautiful. That's right. You can give me a thumbs up. Like, I want something like that. I want young sure. girls to wear something that says,
yeah,
you're beautiful. Hey, yeah. She's wearing a shirt that says she's beautiful. All right, let's tell her she is freaking beautiful.
Yeah. To wear that love.
Yes. Yes. To wear their worthiness and their love and know that is super cool and okay with me. And it is going to be, because they're going to be the generation that changes everything, that says, I love my body. I love who I am. And that is totally fine. And I don't need to validate that to anybody, because as long Fantastic. As you love yourself, that's what matters. You're
that
loving,
is
you're
awesome.
Loved, and you're worthy.
Well, we will keep track of you on social media doing all of that. And I'm sure you will post on your website as you have different, you know, the poetry, the clothing, all of these different lines available as well. So we're excited to watch you grow and continue to progress. And thanks for being in the book.
No, thank you. This opportunity was a blessing for me. I cannot thank you enough. And I pray and hope that it touches other women. And I cannot yeah. wait for the next set of women to write with you guys and be able to experience how beautiful life can be. And just to continue, keep doing that. You guys have done, you've done something, Laura, very specifically, like, hats off to you for being my unpaid therapist who really changed a whole lot in my life. I could never thank you enough for that.
Well, good. I'm glad you got out of the experience what I was hoping the authors would, which is a little bit of a coaching program built in, a little bit of self-awareness built in. And in the writing, there's some amazing power that and vulnerability that went into this book. So
Ooh, yes,
I appreciated working with you too.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today on this episode of My Walk, My Way. To not miss an episode, please go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, it really helps us out a lot if you leave a review. To pick up a copy of the My Walk My Way book, you can get that wherever books are sold and order that. And on our mywalkmyway.com website, you can find special gifts that help you understand your endotype just a little bit better. I can't go today before I give special thanks to the band Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets for allowing us to use this beautiful music from their song Shine. Check them out. The rest of their music is great too.
take my shadow.